14.
All right,
done.
Tell us about Susie and Harvey's children.
Aaron's going to be, well, 12. And Jaina, 3. Let's see, Schlesinger, Joan.
Joan and Alan.
Joan and
Al.
Joan and Al Schlesinger.
And where do they live?
In Upper, in
Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie, Indiana.
Yeah. And do they have children?
Yeah. 2.
What do they
Todd
have?
Todd
and Mark.
He's 7 and 11.
Okay.
And he's auditor for the Ball Corporation.
Of the Ball Corporation of Muncie, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Of the what?
Ball. B-A-L-L. Big Muncie is built around the Ball Industries, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's the Ball Industries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do have any of your children or grandchildren have your inherent artistic ability?
No, but they swim. They're good swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think their life's going to be different? What's their lifestyle different from yours? Certainly it's going to be...
Mike's good math.
It's going to be easier to learn. Television is certainly a bigger factor in their lives than it was in yours. Is it a force for good?
Yes, yes. Yes. Of course, Jody's lives in a small town, but they're, yes, I think it'll be much better. But they just don't know yet what they want to do. But Mike is a good in math. He's in an advanced program.
I see.
Math, and he's a good athlete. He's the one who was so very sick, you know.
Yes. Have they felt that they wanted to be affiliated with a synagogue or a temple?
Oh, yes, they are. What's the name of it? Mount Lebanon?
That's Temple of
Mount
Temple
of
Mount, yeah.
And your other children are also affiliated with
the
temple?
In Muncie.
I just wondered if young, you know, married couples today, when they're away from their parents,
well, they are.
Still feel a need to affiliate.
Joni is, yes. They are. In first in Muncie, it's a small one. They bring a rabbi in for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they manage to hold together.
But
about,
they feel that it's important
about
to identify.
50 families.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And it's a hard place to do it because they, there's a Ku Klux Klan.
In Muncie,
that's
a large.
Started. That's where it started. Tough place.
Anybody musical in your family?
They all play instruments.
Like what?
The little one is a Suzuki. Plays the fiddle.
Oh, the violin, the Suzuki method of the
mm-hmm.
violin. Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful. That's taught. Is that the one here? In
7 years old.
That's marvelous.
What are they, small size instruments for?
No, they bought them a regular one now. I mean, his size.
Yeah. Isn't that cute? All right, now you have a lot of awards here, and this is your retirement award from the Pennsylvania Medical Society, awarded to you in 1979 for 50 in recognition of 50 years of medical service, and I awarded you also a gold pin
mm-hmm.
from the Pennsylvania Medical Society. I know you've had art awards, and that's still one of your... Your consuming interests are what? Your wig fund, your grandchildren, and your art?
And my metabolic fund.
That's the wig? That
no, that's separate.
That's separate.
Yeah.
Well, you, I identify that for
separate.
Me. I don't know the difference.
Metabolic fund was established in honor of Mike. The metabolic fund is a diabetic fund.
And why did you choose that fund?
Well, they saved Mike's life, and I...
In what was his...
Well, Mike was very sick when he was born, after he was born, rather. and they he had a tumor of the pancreas, which was eventually removed. And I established a fund to perpetuate the study, to help perpetuate the study of metabolic diseases at Children's Hospital.
That's marvelous. Is that an ongoing fund? That's in some of the information you've given me.
It's in that paper there.
Do they always have a telethon for Children's Hospital? Or is that in fairly recent years?
Oh, everybody contributes.
Everybody contributes.
Yeah. Press boys. Everybody gives to Children's Hospital. But this is special. They didn't want to do it. It's the only living fund they have. In other words, a living person's fund. All the rest are dead.
Yeah. What position did you hold in Children's Hospital?
Staff.
Staff position?
Yeah.
Staff pediatrician?
Yeah.
That's something we want to know.
But that's the only, they wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it for anybody else.
That is an honor to me. You'll notice all those others are dead people.
Yes, I know. Is there anything else, anything you can think of, any other sidelights? All you've told us is so interesting. Is there anything?
No, I started from scratch in 1929. No, the only is it. When I didn't get my residency, I had to take my exams. You can't take the board exam. I mean the specialty pediatric exam without a residency.
Mm-hmm.
And to substitute that, you have to have 10 years of pediatric practice.
Actual practice.
So I had to work 10 years
to get
you.
You could have done in 3 years
in
a residency.
3 years straight.
I see. And you had to do it on your own.
So I went to every clinic, every seminar in the country.
All right. Well,
I please don't
I'm
forget.
Going
That's
to,
the only
no,
copy I have.
We're going to make copies of your story and return your story to
this
you.
This was a great
And
day.
I want to see what this is. This is...
That was the flu season. We had over 1,000 shots that Sunday.
Who sponsored this?
I did.
Oh, this was under your sponsorship
for
influenza shots. Was there an influenza epidemic at
that
time?
No, but it was prevention.
It's a preventative.
Prevention.
Mm-hmm. He gave 1,000 shots that day. Well, that was someday.
Has the way shots are given, has that changed? Children's shots and things like that? They still do it the same way. Yeah.
The softest spot.
The softest spot. All right.
So
well,
we had 1,000. You know, it's 1,000 people coming
people in one day.
Well, we had a machine going there. That was great, though.
Is there anything different in the way pediatrics is practiced today?
Money.
They learn to be businessmen.
No, they practice money. Right.
You don't pay, you don't get.
They don't practice pediatrics.
Do you feel that way about medicine altogether?
No, some people practice compassion.
Well, there have to be some compassionate pediatricians.
Some are and some are not.
Do you think it's because they've spent so much time and money learning? And
well, I guess
or
that's
is it just the
partly.
Or is that part of the attraction today of being a professional man?
Well, it takes a lot to get there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's the way you're brought up. I mean, it's a basic inheritance.
That's scary that so many people have not inherited that compassion.
Yes, it scares me. Now that I look around and see how other doctors behave.
Do you think it was always there? You just didn't notice it before?
I never had a chance to look around. But now that I'm the patient, Mm-hmm. Now that I'm a patient, I look around, it scares me.
So it may have been happening.
I think one of the greatest defects in our practice is compassion.
Are the doctors too busy?
I don't know what the answer is. No, I think the answer is born that way.
You're born that way. Everything is me first? Get ahead?
There are other factors, but they're born that way.
You wanted to be a doctor because you were compassionate.
And the other factors fit in.
I mean, that was like a prerequisite for being a doctor,
a
is that you were compassionate.
A good doctor is a compassionate doctor. Doesn't even have to be a good one. That's what they mean by listening.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a good doctor. Just listen. You ever hear that story about listening?
I don't know which story.
No, there is no story. Just listen.
I think that's true.
Listens.
A lot of things are cured by having somebody listen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that probably has a lot to do with the ills of our society today.
Yes, ma'am.
That nobody
most
sits
of them
and listens.
Mm-hmm. Most of them.
Most of them.
Put your arm around the patient. Listen.
Do you think that's why children are having problems, that nobody has time to listen?
Some, yes. Some. They don't take time to listen.
Well, I think that's a...
You didn't get out and pay the girl as you go out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't listen.
It's true.
Well, that's...
I'm hearing it now. You know, it's a funny thing. It's not recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you don't have it later, we can delete it. But let's say it anyhow.
I don't want to say it. Well, I won't mention that. But the party that took my office now, there's no compassion there. I mean, there's no question about it. And people have told me, three druggists told me, and a lot of patients told me. My patients miss me. What do they miss?
That you cared. You listened.
They were caring.
Yeah.
Sure.
Not because I was a better doctor. He's probably a better doctor than I am. I mean, you know, more skillful perhaps.
But you listened.
I think that's a good place to end the tape.
Mm-hmm.
I used to call up and ask how the patient is.
Yeah.
I didn't call you a doctor. I know.
You always call.
That's the difference, you see. It's the difference between being a good doctor and not a good doctor.
I think that speaks for itself.